I'd first like to thank Rabbi Winter for giving me the opportunity to share some words of Torah with you. I thank Kadosh Baruch Hu daily that I'm zoicha to do what I like the most, which is to learn Torah and to teach Torah and to do chesed. It's a beautiful chelik that I have in Chayim, and the opportunity to be part of that is something which I bless the Kadosh Baruch Hu daily in my tefillos and moedim and nachtu loch, that I'm zoicha to be able to do what I love to do, which is to teach Torah. So Rabbi Winter, thank you for allowing me to do that. I want to take an opportunity to recognize the contribution that Rabbi Winter has made to the community, so the Kollel has made to the community. Baruch Hashem, bringing Torah, spreading Torah throughout the community is a wonderful thing. Furthermore, this event, I think, is a beautiful thing. If it's late, if somebody needs to leave, please feel free to leave. I will not be insulted. If you fall asleep, I will not be insulted. I'm very happy that you got a chance to get a good rest. So I was mazaka, a yid, with something which is good for them. That's fine. That's my attitude when I speak. This way, you know, the expectations are set low. Whatever you get afterwards is going to be great. Come on. Okay, gotta start somewhere. I feel horrible speaking right now, because I'm going to be a spoiler for the last three drushas. And that's like, why do you want to do that? But the last three drushas were very inspired, and I'm very inspired. I'm already like maybe thinking, maybe I shouldn't say what I'm about to say, because we're going to move the expectations down a little bit and try and make them as real as possible, because we know that we grapple with it. Maybe I'm a little bit older, and I grapple with the problem. And I once asked my Rosh Hashiva the same question. I seem to be grappling with the same issues year after year. And I come to Rosh Hashanah, and I look like I looked a year ago. I look like I looked 2 years ago. And I've been inspired. I've been trying. I've been working on it. Thank you very much. So I once asked my Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva Chaim Stein, Zecher Livracha, I'm grappling with this issue. I seem to be sitting in my Rosh Hashanah, and I feel very similar to the last year. I didn't make any major changes. So he says to me, what do you think I feel like? You know, I said, oh, thank you, Rebbe. I feel much better now. And I want to look forward to the future. Not only do I have a problem now, for the last 40 years, he says, I've had it for the last 80 years. Wow, I feel so much better now. Right? But I want to give you a way to make you feel better about it. But at the same time, let's see if we can make some real change. So, you're familiar with this idea, which many of the Baalei Musar talk about, that when you make a Kabbalah for the Yom and the Roim, or you make a change for the Yom and the Roim, it should be small. Yeah, usually this comes with, you got Rabbi Pesach Kron gets up and he says, and he touts out the fact that Rabbi Shach, 1 year he made his Kabbalah, he's going to bench from a bencher for the coming year. And say, wow, that's not very big. Okay, so let's understand exactly what's happening over here. So you're going to come to the Yom HaDin, and in Shemayim there's this very big scale, gigantic scale, and on the scale they start putting the Averus, and the Averus are getting very, very, very big, and they're very scary. He said, 1 second, I have on the other side a benching from a bencher. Baruch Hashem, who's going to win? Really? How does it work? Explain it to me. What does that mean? Just make a small change, everything's going to be wonderful. So let's talk about small changes, because that's really what we're aiming for, because large changes is not how we're going to go. The Vilna Gaon says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ivelus Adam Tiselef Darkoi, Ve'al Hashem Yizaf Liboi. Person makes a foolish ideas, it makes his path unsuccessful, and he's angry at Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. So the Vilna Gaon explains it as Pirush Mishlei. What does it mean? It means like this. A person tries to go too fast and is avoided as Hashem. If you go too fast, it does not work. And he comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, I was so inspired. I wanted to change so much and it didn't work. Why didn't you help me? And Hashem says, what do you want from me? Your foolishness of going too fast made it not be successful. Ivelus Adam, the foolishness of the person, Tisal Dakar, made his path be crooked. And then you're angry at Hashem. Why didn't you help me? What do you want from me? You blow it. So we're going to have to find a way to work, which is going to work step by step. And Chaim Volozhiner, in his Ruach Chaim, picking up from where his Rebbe left off, gives a mashal to this. And he says, that there was a master one time said to his Eved, I need you to go up to the loft and bring something down. So Bella starts getting a ladder. He says, we never envisioned that the master said, 1 second, no, I didn't ask you to get a ladder. I said, jump. Obviously, he didn't say jump. He said, get a ladder and go up step by step. And why are we trying to jump when all the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do is to go up step by step? The tells a Rav in Shiri Das, I'm a tells her, so I have to say the tells a word. Tells a Rav in Shiri Das, It's a fascinating idea about the significance of a small change. Just imagine for a moment this building. Imagine for a moment a field, a soccer field, filled with sesame seeds. One sesame seed high. That's it. One sesame seed high. How many sesame seeds are there? Rabosai?
Billions.
Okay, good. All right. Now add another layer of sesame seeds on top of that. One sesame seed high. Do you see the difference? Rabosai?
No.
No. Did you make, what did you add? Billions of sesame seeds. A human being is connected to every part of the Bria. The whole universe is connected to the human being. A mashu of a change has raised every part of the whole world, the whole universe, as a mashu higher. It's just a small change, but the whole world has changed. Number one. Number two, he says that the mashal is not really good, because if you think about it for a second, when you add another layer of sesame seeds, what do you get? Another layer of sesame seeds. A human being adds a mashu, he's a different person. You're not the same person because you changed even a little bit. We have to integrate that small changes are valuable because that means we are a different person than we were before. Number one. Number two, Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, when he talks about the idea of making small changes, he says the following. He says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not like Sheker. He actually hates Sheker because so much of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Emes. A small, real change, which is Emes, is much more valuable to him than this ephemeral attempt at something greater and convincing yourself that you've done something great when really you haven't really changed because you bit off too much. So our goal is going to be something small. Okay, but let's go back to this scale. You know, okay, that's great. You know, I understand. Like, you know, we have this small change and it's a real change. And this year I bench for a bench every time I have a better, greater appreciation of benching. So we shouldn't disparage that. That's a wonderful thing. My benching is different. You know what it means? That a Jew benches. And I could spend, we get up here, and I've had a lot of time, I could spend an hour talking about the value of benching. And now your benching is better. Can we disparage? We can't disparage that. But how does it work against that scale? How does it work on that scale? And I would like to suggest the following. There's a Gemara Kedusha. The Gemara Kedusha says a fascinating thing. The Gemara Kedusha says that by a Jew, a Kadosh Baruch Hu has an approach to the actions of a Jew called that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzaref Machshava Toiva Lamaisa and not Mitzaref Machshava Ro'a Lamaisa. Which means, if a Jew desires to do something and an oinus happens and he can't do it, he gets credit as if he has done it. If a Jew desires to do something bad and he can't do it, he doesn't get it. Even though he was only stopped due to an oinus, it was against his will. He was ready to do it. And the oinus stopped him. It's not considered as if he did it. So fascinatingly, the Sfas Emes and Rousseau Salanter, Sfas Emes in Parshas Re'eh, and Rousseau Salanter in Igeres Lamed or Yisrael, both say the same word. Now you have to, you know, this is like the Chassidus of one side and the Muslim from the other side, right? A rabbi from Tel Shishim is telling over Sfas Emes over here from the podium. And in Silver Spring, it's quite a combination. And here the Sfas Emes says the following. The essence of a Jew is good. When a Jew does something wrong, it's mikra. It's an occasion. It's something which happened against the nature of the reality of the person. A mikra is only a mikra when it happens. And something occurs only when it occurred. Because until it occurs, it's not supposed to occur. Whereas Toiv is the essence of a Jew. And therefore, even if he is not able to do it, he's limited from his ability to do it, but he wants to do it. That's defining who he is, and therefore he gets credit as if he has done it. A Jew comes to him in the room and says, Rav Hashem, I would like to be like Rabbi Weinberg said so beautifully. That Ruvein, which is a gorgeous different person the way I am right now. I would like to be a person who loves everybody and has no grievances. Remember, to remove that anger. Remove that revenge. Remove that frustration. I'd be a person who's my davening is a davening and my learning is a learning. I would love all of that. I want that with every single fiber of my being. I can't do that. I realistically cannot do that. I'm not supposed to do that. That's not what I'm supposed to be working on because it will not work. I am an onus. Not from an outside problem, but the intrinsic being of who I am. My neshama is burning with a fire. My neshama is screaming, I want to change. But the Baruch Hu gave me not just a neshama, he gave me a goof. He gave me a body, he gave me circumstances, he gave me challenges, he gave me limitations. So what can I do? I can change as much as is realistic for me. When I do that, what am I saying? I'm ready to change as much as I can. I can't do more. Hashem says, okay, I will count that as if you've done full tshuva. And now on the scale of all these averas, I have a full tshuva. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu will count it, I'm trying as best as I can, which is very limited. But it's real. How can I get that schus from the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What I can do, I must do. Because if what I can do, I don't do, then it's not real. Then I'm saying, Rosh, I don't really care. What I'm saying is, I do really care. I really want to change. I will change as much as I can, which might be one thing. But that's okay, as long as that's real. The author from the Bardic asked the Kasha, famous Medrash, famous Chazal. The Rosh says, if you open for me a Pesach, kechuda shalmachet, like the eye of a needle, I will open for you, and actually the language of the Medrash is an opening which is so large that wagons can roll through it in both directions. There'll be wagons going in, wagons going out. This is a gigantic opening. It's referring to the idea of a person changing. If you make a small change, I'm going to give you a phenomenal ability to change beyond any expectation you ever would believe. He asks the question. We don't seem to see that happening to us. But we do have moments of hira tshuva, which we really open that opening, and we really want to change, and we really care. And why are we not getting these openings, which are phenomenal? Why am I not that gigantic, wonderful person the next year? What's wrong? Why is it working? Because Al said it's going to work. What's wrong? So he says the following. He says, there are many ways to make a hole. Many things you can make a hole in. You can make a hole in water. You have a big thing of water, you stick your hand in, you made a hole in it. You know what happens if you take your hand out? No hole. You put your finger into a stick of margarine, and it pushes through. The stick of margarine melts, and it comes back together again. And you can drill a hole in metal. You drill a hole in metal, it's going to last. Chazal's mashal is a chudosh shel machat. It's the hole in an eye of a needle in metal, in a metal needle. This is a real change. And the reason why we're not getting, he says, is because we have not found ways to make our changes real. And Rabbi Sai, we make fun of New Year's resolutions by the Goyim, and I, honestly, we really want to change. And somewhere along the way, by Hanukkah, we want to say, what were we accomplished for this year? So to really organize people, which I'm not one of those, will have this piece of paper in their wallet, which they'll take out every single day and they'll read before davening what their kabbalas were for the year. I have to first write the piece of paper. That's a challenge for me, to remember to write the piece of paper. To remember it's in my wallet. To remember to take it out and make sure it was legible enough to read it. By the time I get to Hanukkah, what that was, I'm a kabbal is the problem. Honestly. And the answer is, I was talking about dreams. And dreams are very important, because dreams, the only way you're going to have goals is if you have dreams. But we're not talking about dreams over here. That's not a chudosh al-machat. We're talking about goals. You dream of what that person is supposed to look like, and you say, okay, you know what? I can't do all of that in this life, in this year. Forget about my lifetime. I can't do it in this year for sure. What one step can I do towards that picture, which will be real? A, how am I going to make sure that it's going to last? What am I going to do? What are the impediments that are going to prevent me from making that happen? You come to Yom Kippur, and you say, and you have the Rabbi Kroner points out in his Vidi booklet, which came out many years ago and it's picked up by other people, that most of over one-fourth of what we talk about has to do with the time of our Lashon. And we don't like saying Lashon Hara. We don't like being bad people. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara again this year. And you decide with such a definitiveness. And the next day you meet your old friend who came back for Sukkot that you haven't seen, and he asks you, so what's going on with the new rabbi? What are you going to say? What's your plan? I don't mean like practically. How? You know the problem. It happened last year. It happened 2 years ago. It's not a chiddush. If you haven't worked out a real plan, how are you going to deal with that? You have not done tshuva. You haven't really changed. That's not a chudosh al-machat. But I want to leave you with one, and now you can project that forward. So you know what? Realistically, I'm not going to deal with that situation. Fine, so you haven't made a Kabbalah yet for that point. What do you want to make, which is a real Kabbalah? Lashon Hara is a problem. What are you going to do? Let's start with the easy things, Rabbi Sosalta says. There's a greater Einish. If you don't put tzitzis in the white part, then if you don't put the blue part, the Mora says, because the blue part is expensive. I understand why it's challenging. Why are you putting the white tzitzis in? What's the excuse for that? It's easy. Just change. Do the easy ones first. The kalos in each avera, there are the kavedos and the kalos. At least change the kalos. What can I do which is easier to do? I want to leave you with a thought from Rabbi Solanter. Rabbi Solanter says a fascinating thing. There's a Gemara. We mentioned this in Yom Lerayim davening at the end, in the Elul. And we quote these psukim from Yechezkel, which are these gorgeous psukim. When Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hechavotz, hechavotz, b'mois ha'meis." Do I want b'mois Russia? Do I want the Russia to die? I don't want a Russia to die. Ki b'shuvah midrachav v'chayi. I want him to do tshuva. The Russia says, "I don't want to punish a Russia. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. Please help me." And then we have these psukim. There's three psukim like that. Powerful psukim. And the Gemara Nida, the Mamash at the end of Shas, the Adafai and Aleph, the Gemara says, it's a Sirik, there's a Pasuk in Shmuel which says, Ki Chofetz Hashem Lamish, Hashem wanted to kill B'nai Eli. Versus, I don't want to kill Rishon, but I wanted to kill B'nai Eli, it's a Sirik. And the Gemara answers, Kan B'sois and Shuvah, Kan B'sois and Shuvah. The ones who are not doing Shuvah, Chofetz Hashem Lamish, when they're going to do Shuvah, Hashem wants them to live. Now, that doesn't make the Gemara does not make any sense. The Pasuk is talking about a Russia. If he did Tshuva, he's not a Russia anymore. So who is this Pasuk talking about? It's an Oysa Tshuva. Who's a Russia still? He didn't do Tshuva yet. So what's it? What defines a person who's a person who's an Oysa Tshuva? He will do Tshuva. As opposed to a person who will not do Tshuva. Not that he's done Tshuva yet, like Rabbi Weinberg said. We're talking about, the verse is giving us a credit. You will do Tshuva. How do we know? What defines whether you are a Oysa Tshuva or a not Oysa Tshuva? Now, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his all-seeing vision, knows that 17 years down the road, there's going to be this terrible accident. The person's going to get into an accident, and he's going to become a paraplegic, and he's going to change his whole life into Tshuva. That doesn't count. Because that's the Russian's business. So what is it with us? He says, the difference between whether you're Oysa Tshuva or not is whether it bothers you. You're chai margish. The difference between a chai and a mace is you put a machet in the basar of a mace, it doesn't feel it. And a chai feels. Does it bother you? If it truly bothers you, not just I wish I was better, but if it truly bothers you, you'll do Tshuva. And if it doesn't really bother you, you're not going to do Tshuva. That's the Gemara is talking about. And Yisrael Salter says, the secret chayim, the secret mason, we write ourselves. If we're a chay, we're margish, when Jesus really bothers us, and we're going to do Tshuva, we're in the secret chayim. And if we're not, we're a mace, we go in the secret mason. We get to write which book we go into, he says. He says, how are you going to make sure that you are a chai margish, that you're going to really make some change? He says, you have to learn Musa. This is Rishon Lezion talking, right? It's not the Sozab is talking, it's Rishon Lezion talking. You have to make a commitment in the coming year that you're going to constantly look for inspiration. You're going to look for introspection. You're going to find time in your day or your week where you're going to sit there and think, be it daily, be it weekly, am I moving forward towards that goal that I set for myself? The small goal that I set for myself. And if you will do that, you will change. And then you will be nichtav, v'nechtav, v'alto l'chaim tov mitzolom, in the Sefer HaChayim. Rabbi said, we should all be zoicha to write ourselves, as Hashem, into the Sefer HaChayim. And Bereshit will put his stamp of approval. All clients will be zoicha to be nichtav, v'nechtav, l'chaim tovim. Together with doing Oysa Tshuva and the Rosh Hashanah, with that school, will bring Mashiach.